Thank you, Miss Rita. Thank you, choir. I'd like to tell one more story of the work of the Holy Spirit. I knew this song was coming because Miss Rita, on a little whiteboard in the choir room there, lists all the songs she's going to be doing for the month, and so I come over and look at them. And sometimes I'll call her and we'll talk about a few of them. This was one. And we had a wonderful conversation, and so I knew the song was coming. What I did not know was the passage I would be preaching from today. Miss Rita is a lot more forecasting in her planning than I am. I usually work week by week, and if you get that, we're good. Please notice the title of the sermon in your bulletin. I didn't plan it. But the Holy Spirit laid out that today we would be speaking, singing about the Holy Spirit. In many churches, in many Christian lives, the Holy Spirit is that unknown quantity, person. Sometimes we're afraid to speak of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. People think you get kind of weird when you start working and talking about the Spirit too much. Well, personally, I am one to try to mention the Holy Spirit every week, either in prayer or in passing some way or another, because we worship a Godhead. Three gods, three persons in one Godhead. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We would not know Jesus Christ if it were not for the Holy Spirit. We would not be gathered as a people if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit. Pat's cancer would not be gone, but if not for the work of the Holy Spirit. Harvey and these other elders could not stand in this pulpit and pray and bend the corners of this wood trimming up here if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit. We are a Holy Spirit people. And so, Miss Rita, thank you. Let's look to our passage. Zechariah chapter 4. I will be reading the entire passage, the entire chapter. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and one on the left." It's left. And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." I knew I'd mess it up. "Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And a second time I answered and said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Other than my horrible pronunciation of this wonderful gentleman's name, this is probably one of the more challenging passages in Zechariah. And I hope you could note that as I read it and the pictures that you were trying to form in your mind of this image being given to Zechariah. Three times he asked, "What are these, Lord?" And so we're not alone in somewhat of our confusion as to exactly what the Lord is showing Zechariah here. Now, before we dig into the passage, let me remind you that the Israelites have returned to Jerusalem from their captivity in Babylon, and they have been charged to rebuild the temple. In chapter 3, 2 weeks ago, we read of the high priest Joshua. And in that chapter, we read of the sinfulness portrayed in Joshua by the filthy garments that he wore. But in that chapter, we also read of High Priest Joshua and the nation of Israel's redemption and those dirty rags, those dirty garments being removed and pure white vestments being given to them. In chapter 3, verse 4, we read, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." Yes, the sin of the people will be taken away by the Lord God, and they will one day stand fully and totally redeemed. That was portrayed in the high priest Joshua of chapter 3. Now we turn our attention to Zerubbabel. This gentleman is the governor of Israel, and his leadership is key in the rebuilding of the temple. He is getting credit for leading the rebuilding of the temple. As we move through this vision, please keep these two men in mind. I'll bring you back to this at the close, but keep these two men in mind. The high priest Joshua in his sinfulness, but yet redeemed. And then the work of Zerubbabel and his leadership and oversight of the people. Please hold these two in mind as we go through this. Now, as we begin, we see Zechariah is awakened from his sleep, and through a vision he is shown a lampstand of pure gold. That stand has seven lamps, and to each lamp is a lip or a channel or a tube running from a bowl above to each one of the lamps that's affixed to a single lampstand. And then alongside this lampstand are two olive trees. And again, Zechariah asks, "What are these?" The angel of the Lord answers Zechariah, and he answers him in a very pointed way, but not in a specific way to answer his question about the image. He says this in verse 6. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Now, this single sentence is the major emphasis and the major point of the entire text. Zerubbabel is rebuilding the temple, but it will not be done by human ability alone. It will be by the Spirit of God as he enters Zerubbabel and the people, and they work under the leadership and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the task given them. That's the emphasis of the entire passage. And the people will need this work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Remember, as we talked about in our very first sermon, the people of this time in Israel were accused of being lazy. They were accused of being apathetic. They were accused of taking care of their own personal needs before giving their hand to rebuilding the temple as God had told them to do. There were attacks of enemies, constant attack of the enemy while they're trying to rebuild this temple. These people need the work of the Holy Spirit. As we saw in chapter 3, Satan is standing here accusing the high priest Joshua of being a sinful man, not fit to rebuild the temple, so why should he go on? These people need the work of the Holy Spirit. And the people hear these words from Zechariah as he is giving them from, as he got them from the angel of the Lord. He says, "Not by might nor by power, not by might, not by the power of human ability, but by my spirit will these things be done." And just as I said before I read the text, it is the same with us as we enter into the varying ministries of our church, as we live our lives. We are weak, sinful, incapable of doing very much good in our own power and ability. Now, I know that is contrary to every thought and message in the world today. You can do it. You can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. And where does that typically lead us? We do well civically in the secular world, but where are our spiritual lives? Many times dry. The enemy attacks, we become apathetic. The enemy attacks, we become lazy and distracted. Yet I give you the same statement Zechariah gave these people of this day, not by might, not by power, not by human force, but by the Holy Spirit, we do what we do. This is exactly what Jesus Christ told the disciples before his ascension. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, please. Back in the day when David Sides was the moderator of Synod, this was his passage, his theme passage. The message Zechariah is giving the people is the same message I'm about to read you that Jesus Christ gave the disciples. Context is a bit different, but it speaks of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 of chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, when will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Don't ask questions about what you don't know or we cannot answer. Don't be overly concerned about end times. But this you can be concerned about. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Jesus is telling the disciples, wait. Don't go out. Remain here and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the coming. And that's exactly what happened. If you'll turn over to chapter 2 of Acts. Chapter 2, the first couple of verses here, verse 4 actually, when the day of Pentecost. Wow, here we are again. The day of Pentecost arrived. They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them. Fire, candle, lampstands. Appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. These men were empowered by the Spirit. And these men, if you go on and read Peter's sermon immediately following here, this man was changed incredibly by the presence of the Holy Spirit. These 12 men went out and planted and founded the Christian church of which you are a part of today. 12 men. Phenomenal. Phenomenal work done by the Holy Spirit. Now go back with me to Zechariah chapter 4. What does this lampstand portray? What does this lampstand and the tubes and the fire and the bowl and the olive trees, all this, what is being shown here to Zechariah? Well, I believe it portrays exactly what we read of. Here is Zerubbabel is building the temple. And the disciples, as they planted the church, it is giving that physical, visual image of a filling of the Holy Spirit. The people of God, the community of God, is portrayed by this lampstand. We can go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Don't go, I'm going to read it to you. But we go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to get the key that helps us unlock that mystery. In chapter 1, verse 12 of Revelation, speaking about Jesus Christ and the vision given to John, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. This Son of Man is Jesus Christ, walking in and about his churches. Remember, the first chapters of the book of Revelation is written to the 7 churches. And so here, this visual of lampstand is representing the people of God, the church. The vision of Zechariah is a lampstand which represents the church, the people of God, and there are 7 flames being fueled constantly by these 7 pipes or these 7 tubes streaming down from that bowl. And then from that bowl, or into that bowl, is the fruit of the two olive trees. Constantly filling the bowl with the tubes to the seven lamps, being constantly filled by the Spirit. This vision of Zechariah represents the people of God being empowered by the ever-flowing Spirit of God. This is also the outcome of Pentecost of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 tells of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming and residing on the people, planted within the people, and that was the foundational element of the church. And the Holy Spirit has not and will not ever go away. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So in this lampstand, a single lampstand, seven candles for complete. And then through each one of those individual candles is a tube going up to a bowl. And then these two olive trees on either side, their fruit being taken into the bowl, that golden oil, as Zechariah calls it, is simply a picture of the Holy Spirit continuously, amply being poured into that bowl, and that bowl coming down and filling the people of God. That's what Zechariah is seeing here. And it says that Zerubbabel will be successful in rebuilding the temple, verses 7 and 8, if you will. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Where are you, O great mountain? What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel and the work of the Holy Spirit? You shall be made a plain. Zerubbabel laid the foundation and he completed the temple. And the warring factions that would come against him, the people who were rebellious and lazy and apathetic, did not slow the building of the temple. Not by might, not by power, but by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now see, this should be an incredible encouragement to us today. Those of you who are struggling along, those of you whose lives are just in uproar, those of us who are challenging through different issues, be it health, family, et cetera, and you feel like, I can't not do another day of this. But not by might, nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. What challenge to the Lord's work will not be overcome by the Holy Spirit. What challenge in your life daily will you not be sustained by the Holy Spirit through that challenge? Name me one. Not one. Not one. It also speaks here of a top stone being placed on the temple. And what does this top stone, this capstone represent? Well, it first represents the completed temple. As we see, Zerubbabel is going to complete the temple. There is a huge party when this capstone is placed. Grace, grace to it. That capstone is placed, meaning the project is finished. The temple is complete. Everything's done. However, we must ask, does this capstone of the temple have a larger, more spiritual meaning? Well, of course it does. We would all agree that it does. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, this stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. This capstone is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ gave his life for the church and ascended on that third day, and he ascended to the Father's and sits at his right hand, that is that capstone being placed. The work is done. The people of God have been called. The church has been founded. The Spirit has been given. And just like Zerubbabel completed the temple, Jesus Christ's church is complete. We are simply waiting for all the parts of the body to be brought into the kingdom. Jesus Christ told Peter in Matthew 16, after he confessed that, yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, on that confession I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. The vision given to Zechariah, that Holy Spirit being given continuously, always, never withdrawing, never retracting. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the Lord of the church, the capstone of the church, is in place. He is seated upon his throne. We who believe in him are the stones and the rocks. We are a holy priesthood. We are the ones being formed together, being built into this body of Christ, into this church. Just as Zerubbabel is the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ building a people, Jesus Christ is building that people. All right, now, let's return to Zechariah chapter 4. And I told you to hold Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, the governor, in mind as we were walking through this. Verse 11 of chapter 4 of Zechariah. Zechariah speaking here, then I said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right and left of the lampstand? And the second time I answered and said to him, what are these two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out? He said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The two anointed ones. We have here Joshua the high priest. Joshua the high priest is a representative of the people before God. He was accused by Satan. And then the Lord God said, remove the filthy garments from him, and to him, behold, I have taken your iniquity away. Joshua the high priest, the representative of the people, once accused by Satan, now redeemed, becomes that witness. Zerubbabel, the governor of Israel, again, a representative of the people who was called by God to rebuild the temple. So he was the one that brought the forces together to rebuild the temple. He was told, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. An empowering of the Holy Spirit, Zerubbabel was able to rebuild that temple. Another witness. So what we have here in Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor of Israel, the two anointed by God, two that have been redeemed from their sin and filled by the Holy Spirit, these two through the empowering of the Holy Spirit fuel and fill the church. Their witness, their testimony, the preaching of these things stand as a witness to the coming and the work of the Holy Spirit that constantly feeds and fills the church. The message of redemption and the empowering of the Holy Spirit is the message here, is the oil that fills these bowls, that fills these lamps, that keeps the church moving. How will they come to know if they're not preached to? How will they come to know if no one tells them? What is the purpose of the church? First and foremost, to worship God in everything it does. Secondly, to be that witness, just as I read in Acts chapter 1. How do we do either of those? We can do neither of those in our own power, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, we preach the message of redemption. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we preach the Holy Spirit coming, just as the choir did, and brings those old, dry, dead bones into life. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not be. Without the redemption of Jesus Christ, we would not be. Those two things stand as a witness. It's the same thing in Revelation chapter 11 when the two witnesses are preaching about the work of the martyrs. The redemption and the work of the Spirit. It is by these two things we are the people of God. It is by these that we are enabled to do the work of the ministry. As Harvey said, to step in this pulpit, I don't deserve to be here. Truth be known, I'm probably the last one that should be here. Should Harvey come up here and lead you in prayer? Not in Harvey himself, but in his appointment. And that ordained position given him by the Holy Spirit is the only way he can do it. How do you teach Sunday school? By the work of the Spirit. Redeemed people by the work of the Spirit. How do we keep our marriages intact with all the struggles and the heartaches and the work of the Spirit in us? It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We should sing songs of the Holy Spirit every week. You can sing other things. Because this is how we are. And we should pray, come Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Amen and amen.